try and understand what I'm saying. Because if you lose me at one point, you may not fully understand what I'm saying. That having been said, now you can be wondering for the rest of the year, what was I talking about? But I think the moment will come at which you'll understand exactly where I'm going. The end of Parashas Ki Tetzé, which is the Parashah of the week, is the parasha of Zachorat Asher Asah Lecha Amalek, remember that which Amalek did to you. On your sheets, it's number 2. The story of Amalek appears twice in Torah, at the end of Parashat Bishalach, when the sneak attack of Amalek in fact takes place, and then at the end of Parashat Ki Tetzé comes the mitzvah to remember that which Amalek did to you. We're going to read them both, and we're going to compare the two. Let's begin with our sedra. Number 2. Zochorot asher asolecha Amalek baderech betzeitchem imitzchayim. Remember that which Amalek did to you on the road when you went out of Egypt. Asher korcha baderech. He met up with you on the road. You were nowhere near his country. You posed absolutely no threat to him. You had no designs on Amalek. He went hundreds of miles out of his way in order to strike against you on the road. And not only that, Vayizanev b'cho kol ha-necheshalim acherecha. The necheshalim are the weak, the stragglers. There are some who say even that the word necheshalim is like move the letters around and you have chalash, like keves, and Kesev. You know, here it is, the weak. Vayizanev. Vayizanev means he goes against your tail, the end, from Lashon Zanav. Al tizanev. Don't tailgate. Shmor merchak. Don't come up close against me. Vayizanev b'cho. So he attacked. Sneak attack from the rear against the weak when you posed absolutely no threat to him. This was terrible evil, and more than that, you're exhausted and fatigued, and he doesn't fear God. It will come to pass, well, God is going to make things easier for you. There will be peace from all of your enemies around. Don't ever forget. When there's going to be peace, in the land that God gives you as an inheritance, destroy the memory of Amalek, from beneath the heaven, lo tishkach, you shall not forget. Quite an unusual halacha. There's going to be a sinat olam, an eternal hatred against this people until they are completely and totally obliterated. Always been, or certainly in certain periods of time, it's been a difficult mitzvah to understand. You know, here is Torah that drochecho darchei noam, the ways of Torah, ways of pleasantness. And here, Torah, God says clearly, kill, destroy. Let's take a quick look at the story as it appears in Parashat Bishalach at the time that it happens, and we're going to compare the two. Vayavu Amalek. Amalek came, vayilochem in Yisrael b'Refidim, and he waged war with Israel in Refidim. Now that's all that it says, that they came and they waged war with Israel in Refidim. There is no assessment of the situation. We don't even know who was right, who was wrong. Maybe there was reason for them. No, we're not going to find out what a dastardly deed it was until Dvarim here in Parashat Ki Tetzé. I mean, there's no editorial comment whatsoever in Bishalach. Amalek came and he waged war with Israel in Rephidim. Does it say that the Jews were exhausted, fatigued, sneak attack from behind against the weak? Not a word. Amalek came and waged war with Israel in Rephidim. By Yom Moshe Yoshua, Moshe said to Yoshua, Bechar Lord Manoshim, choose for us people, Betsehi Lachem Ba'amalek, and go wage war with Amalek. Mochar tomorrow, Anochi Nitzav Arosh HaGivar will stand on the head, the top of the hill, Umateho Elokim Biyadi, and the staff of God is in my hand. Ayas Yoshua Kasher Omalo Moshe, and Yoshua did that which Moshe told him, Lehi Lachem Ba'amalek, to wage war with Amalek. Moshe Arun Vechur Olu Rosh HaGivar. Moshe Aaron and Chur went up to the top of the hill. Vayon, it came to pass, Kasher Yorim Moshe Yado, when Moshe lifted his hands, V'gavar Yisrael, Israel was stronger. V'kasher Yoniach Yado, as his hands out of weakness started coming down, V'gavar Amalek was stronger. V'yidei Moshe Kvedim, Moshe's hands became very heavy upon him. V'yikuev, they took a stone, V'yosimu Tachto, they placed it, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur held his hands up. Mizechod and Mizechod, one on this side, one on the other side. And his hands were up there, in a sense, trustworthy. You can depend on Moshe that his hands are going to be held upward until the sun set. And Yoshua weakened Amalek and his people by the sword. This is going to begin a near eternal struggle between the Jewish people and Amalek. There are going to be halachic problems, not only problems of an ethical and a moral nature. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, God said to Moshe, K'tov zod zikaron b'sefer, write this as a commemoration in a book. V'sim ba'aznei Yeshua, and place it in the ears of Yeshua. Ki mocho emched zecher Amalek mitachat hashemayim. Here is a very significant difference between Parashat Bishalach and our Sedra. In Parashat Bishalach, it's God who takes the oath, I'm going to destroy Amalek. Ki mocho emche, I'm going to erase Amalek, the memory of Amalek mitachat hashamayim. In our Sedra, in a sense, the torch is going to be passed. The task of, in fact, destroying Amalek is going to be handed over to the Jewish people, and we'll see a little more about that yet. Vayivan Moshe Mizbeach, Moshe built an altar. Vayikro Shmo, and he called the name of the altar Hashem Nisi, God is my banner, God is my miracle. Vayomer, he said, Kiyad al Kes, Yah, God's hand is raised in an oath about the throne of God, that Milchomol Hashem Bamalek Midor Dor. God wages war with Amalek from generation to generation. All right. Maybe the first thing we have to do, there are two Rashis we have to look at. We have to take a halachic position as well, which we will see in a moment. But basically the difference between the two is the following. In our Sedra, the task is being handed over to the Jewish people. Now, when you give a people this kind of an assignment, a mission of this sort, then what you have to do is you have to give them reason why they should want to do it. Moshe Rabbeinu here has to tell them the story in such a way that they should realize that the hatred of Amalek to the Jewish people is an irrational hatred. There was no reason in the world why they should do what they did. It was a sneak attack. You were weak. They are not God-fearing. They are capable of doing anything. These are destructive people. And there's a certain kind of evil that exists in the world that is incorrigible. It's not going to be corrected. There's only one way to deal with it, and that is to obliterate it, erase it, destroy it, remove it from the face of this earth. Chisul mimukad. I don't even know how you say that. To zero in, focus in on them. with an Apache, you understand? And let loose a missile. Yes.
This word, the words mean dar dar.
Yes.
Like Rashi says, it won't be erased.
I know what you're asking. It won't be erased. Because it's in Torah. Because it's in Torah. Torah is eternal. So of course we cannot... Every generation will know about Amalek because it's in Torah. We're not going to erase these psukim from Torah after we have destroyed evil. But the real Amalek will be destroyed. That's what it must mean. It must mean the real Amalek. We're not going to cut out a few psukim from Torah once all evil has been removed from the face of this earth. Yes?
What is the real Amalek?
Toby Willink, what a good question. Just the one that I wanted to answer. Right now. Oh, we did this very well. You know, you got me back on focus, on track. There's a famous pshat in a Rambam, and it's so clear in the Rambam, that was said by Rav Soloveitchik in the name of his father, Rav Moshe. Number three. Who halachot in the Rambam? Mitzvat asei lahacharim shiva amamin is a positive commandment on the Torah to destroy the seven nations in Eretz Yisrael, the Knani, the Chiti, the Amori, the Prizi, the Chivi, the Yevusi, the Girgashi, to destroy them. Shenema, because it says in Torah, Hacharein, Tacharein, destroy them utterly. V'chol shebole yado echad mehem below harako, if you have a Knani in your hand and you didn't kill him, over below Sase, you have transgressed a negative commandment. Shenema, it says, lo techayek kol neshama, you shall not let any of them remain alive. The Rambam now adds three very significant words. Three words. Ukvar avad zichram. The memory of those seven nations has been lost. There is no Knani anymore. There's no Chivi. There's no Yevusi. They don't exist anymore. The Gemara says, Ukvar olo Sancherev. Sancherev, king of Ashur, already came up against Eretz Yisrael, u'bilbeil ha'umot, and he confused the nations of the world, because what he did was, he moved populations from one side of the earth to the next, until there isn't a soul that you can point to in this world, since the days of Sancherev, and say, this is a Knani, or a Chivi, or a Chiti, or a Yevusi, etc. So the halacha simply does not apply. Not because Torah changes, it's just that the reality changed. There is none. There are none. They don't exist anymore. Next halacha. V'chein mitzvat aseh la'abed zecher Amalek. It's also a positive commandment to destroy the memory of Amalek. Shenema timched zecher Amalek. Destroy the memory of Amalek. U'mitzvat aseh lizkor tamid ma'asav ha'ra'im. It is a positive commandment to always remember his evil deeds. Va'arivato. And his lying in ambush, kedei la'orer eivato, in order to awaken and arouse in us a hatred for him. Shedema, zacharat asher asa l'cha Amalek. Now that, by the way, that's the way I am learning this parasha. That since the mitzvah here is being handed over now to the Jewish people, to be able to fulfill that mitzvah, what you have to do is arouse and awaken that hatred. You can't kill Amalek with kindness. Amalek can only be destroyed if you despise him and you hate him. Mipi Ashmu Alamdu, from our rabbis we learned Zohar. Remember what Amalek did, that's bepeh. You have to do it verbally. And that's the mitzvah of hearing the Torah reading of Zohar et Asher Osa L'cha Amalek, or the reading of the Megillah on Purim, and Lo Tishkach, don't forget, in your heart. You have to remember that hatred. She'osu l'shkoach evato v'sinato, you're not permitted to forget his enmity and his hatred. Es Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, the Rav's father is... Why doesn't the Rambam add the three words that he said at the end of the halacha before? When he was talking about the Knani, the Chivi, the Chiti, he says it doesn't apply anymore because who kvar avad zichram. We don't know who's a Kanani anymore. A Kanani doesn't know that he's a Kanani, if there is a Kanani in the world. Is there a Malik in the world? Is there anybody who can turn to and say that he's a Malik? Why didn't the Rambam say the same thing here? Ukvar avad zichram. Their memory is lost. We don't know who they are. So Rav Meisha said, you know why the Rambam didn't write it? Because a Malik is not a noun describing a specific people. It's a generic term that is used to describe anybody at any moment in history who wants to destroy the Jewish people. He gets the din of Amalek. He doesn't have to be a ben achar ben genealogically or biologically Amalek. As long as he is emotionally, in action, in belief, in what he expounds, the destruction of the Jewish people, killing Jews, he gets a din of Amalek. It's so clear in the Rambam, there's no question about it. It's so absolutely clear. The Rambam, when he wrote Halacha Hey, forgot the three words that he wrote at the end of Halacha Dalet. Of course not. So therefore, one of the differences between the story of Amalek, the historic record of Amalek as it appears in Vishalach, in Sefer Shemot, and the mitzvah as it appears in our Sedra, is that the mitzvah in our Sedra, which now passes the responsibility to destroy Amalek to us, so then, as the Rambam says, you know, you have to get the juices flowing. You have to be aware of what these people did to us. And now that we're saying Pshat in the Rambam, it's not only what they did to us, what they are doing to us. And we have to understand that we have to hate them and we have to destroy them. I may be going off on a tangent now, but so what? We do that every so often. So what? I'll tell you, I was very pained. It's 2 weeks now, less than 2 weeks. I was very, very pained. More than pained, I was confused. I was upset. There was an interview in the Jerusalem Post with a grandmother who lost a granddaughter, Tehila, in the pigua of bus number 2, took place 2 weeks ago tonight. It was an extensive interview, but in that interview, twice for sure, maybe three times, and that's really what the article began with, I don't hate the suicide bomber. I don't hate the suicide bomber. But you know, we have to look into ourselves, we have to do tshuva. We have to find the faults that we are suffering from. What are our averes? I didn't know what to do with myself. Thank God I have a shul that I can get up Shabbos in the morning and harangue. You understand? And I can begin to get it out of my system. And I got it not completely out of my system, otherwise I wouldn't be saying today's shir. But I didn't get it out of my system. But it's more than that. This came on top of a number of other things. I'd been someplace, I don't want to say too much, people will be able to figure out whatever I say, people will be able to figure out. Don't try and figure out. Somebody was talking about somebody who had passed away recently and had been in the concentration camps, and he wanted to tell us what a unique individual this person was. You know what he told me, this fellow said about him? You know what he told me on a number of occasions? He doesn't hate the Germans. And everybody, you know, wow, what nobility of character. I get the feeling that this Safta also, if you can say that there's no hatred in your heart, I'll tell you for sure, the intellectuals on the left will love you. They only hate Jews. They don't hate Goyim. How did this come to a Haredi from a Safta? I don't hate the suicide bomber, the one who just killed your granddaughter in cold blood. Where does this kind of hashkafa come? Like, she said it so naturally, as though this is the way it's supposed to be. Because since when something terrible happens, you're supposed to do tshuva. So tshuva is the pshat that I'm responsible. I'm responsible. I have to look inside me. And she doesn't hate the suicide bomber. Shomu shamai. Something has gone seriously wrong with the Jewish people. What passes as some kind of a holy hashkafas haTorah is nothing less than Christian. It's Christian. Except for the fact that the Christians were smart. They preached love but never practiced it. They were the biggest haters in history. They know when to preach and when to practice. They exported hatred to the whole world. And here, Asafta, there's the body of little Tehila, and she doesn't hate the suicide bomber. What happened to her? What happened to her? Now, so you're going to say that our people say things at a moment of crisis that they may not mean? No. That won't work over here. Because at the moment of the terrible tragedy, the whole neshama should explode in a paroxysm of anger at least, if not abject hatred. But no, we don't hate. Well, it was in Prague last year. So we skipped out of here for 3 days. Well, I'd love to be able to do that again. Not Prague, someplace else. I've got to get away for a vacation. But all right. After this year. And this fellow who was the guide took us through Theresienstadt, outside Prague. And it was a terrible place. And he described the terrible suffering that he went through. And then by the end he says, "But I don't hate the Germans." And I'm thinking to myself, Shomu Shamayim Hazeis, what's going on over here? I think that it stopped. This is a klola shelo yodu avoseinu v'avos avoseinu. Our bubbas and zaydas didn't know about cell phones. I have a sneaky suspicion it's my wife's. She may have left it in there. Boy, will she get it for me if it was hers. But I'm not going to be choshed b'ksheichem. Shalok tuva b'torah. Somebody asked me that question. You know what? You're going to kill him. You're going to kill him with kindness. You're going to kill him with kindness. That's right. I really don't hate you. I didn't know, you know. Or was it Peter? Yeah, like Peter Lorre. You remember Peter Lorre? You know, I had this knife, and I didn't know what to do with the knife, so I put it in his back. No, you don't have to hate him. The Rambam says otherwise. The Rambam says, "Umitzos haselis kortamid masav haroyim varivato kedei la orer, awaken and arouse his hatred." Oh, have Hashem sinu ra, those who love God. Wait a minute, I'll take your shtickle through davening. I'm gonna, you know, I don't. When I said don't get the wrong impression, I may get you into such a fighting, hating mood, you're going to walk out of here. All that I want to do in this year is return sanity to the Jewish people. I just want to balance it with the nonsense. I'm sure that there are thousands of people who read that interview and must think, my, how noble. What noble people, by the way. Do I need any more than the worst Rosh in the country? Gidon Levi of Haaretz writes, "Lilmod me haharedim," to learn from the Haredim. Gidon Levi is clearly Rosh number one in this country. If you never read an article of his, I suggest to you, don't ever bother to read an article of his. And take a look. Oh, with what silence and with what introspection, placing the blame on themselves. Of course, what he wants to do is, sure, we're the ones, Israel is to blame. The victims are the ones who are to blame for all the terrible things that's happening. L'lmod me'acharedim. And then there's, Yoram Kanyok, Atzilutam shel haharedim, the nobility of the haredim. I'm not going to go through these articles because there's a third one this morning from Ilan Shachar in the Haaretz, bringing together all of the various things, or many of them, that were written in so many different papers within the Haredi community itself. And by the way, don't get me wrong for a minute. This is not a Haredi bashing shiur. I'm talking about only one aspect, an aspect that most probably, if you would talk to the average Chumayid in the street, would say the poor woman is saying nonsense. By Chassidish Yidin, you certainly wouldn't hear it. They would say, but there is an infiltration of this idea. My, I don't hate the suicide bomber. Unbelievable. How can a Jewish woman say it? I don't understand. It's so anti-Torah. It's so anti-Jewish. By the way, it's stupid. It makes no sense. You're justified in hating. And the only way you're going to do anything about it is if you hate. After I said it, somebody in shul came to my house the next day. And he had saved an article that appeared in the Jerusalem Post. You know, I save a lot of articles too, but I can never get them when I need them. I mean, it's one big mess to find them. And this was in last year in November. Can we ever get angry? Fellow asks, can we ever get angry? In Israel, there is a peculiar custom when one of these massacres occurs. This must have been after one of many previous piguas. On Israel radio, most of the time is devoted to counting the dead and wounded and reporting on the severity of the wounds. This goes on for hours and there's little time for anything else. Almost no time is left for considering the range of legitimate reactions to these massacres. By the way, usually when there would be a few Svaradim Chachim over there yelling Mavet La'aravim, the press would make fun of them. And they're the healthiest people of all. That reaction, Mavet La'aravim, is a healthy reaction. If you don't want to get thrown into jail, you can't say Mavet Lamit Abdim, death to the suicide bombers, there ain't nobody to Mavet over there. Mavet the Paradistim, something like that, so you don't get the, you don't end up in jail. You know, I mean, I'm even worried, I know that they listen into my sermons. The Shabak most probably knows more on Parshat HaShavua than anybody else in this country. You're right. It's incredible. You're right. But he asks, but is that the only appropriate or healthy reaction to an occurrence of this sort? When a slaughter comes about, not as a result of a natural disaster or a human accident, but as a result of deliberate murder, other reactions may be more appropriate. There are situations in which anger is not only appropriate, but is demanded by the simplest considerations of human dignity. I'm afraid to say we've become numbed and we don't have the capacity for anger. By the way, I remember precisely the moment at which I felt real anger for the last time. And my wife can testify to that. When we heard the news on the radio about two Israelis who had been massacred in Ramallah. I ran to Moran. You know, I bought big, this was done all in 3/4 of an hour. I bought the big oak tag and in red ink I wrote, Dam Yehudi Hefker. Yeah? I grabbed my wife. And we went to the Knesset La'ir, And we stood there holding up those signs for hours. A close friend of mine had lost his mother that day. And the whole Levaya passed us by. And I didn't come to Levaya. And he was angry with me. And I told him later I had no choice. I was so angry. I had to do something. I couldn't get anybody to go with me. My wife, she's the one. The one. And I'm beginning to lose the capacity for anger. And I think that that's a terrible, terrible thing we're suffering from. Yes, anger, but at least anger. Anger. Let me take you through a few things. You know what I suggested to my shul? Before benching, who doesn't sing on Shabbos? Who doesn't sing Shir HaMaalos? Everybody knows Shir HaMaalos. I said, you know what the problem is? We don't say Al Naharos Bavel during the week. On 94, Al Naharos Bavel. Sham Yashavnu Gam Bachinu B'Zachreinu B'Tzion, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat and we cried when we remembered Tzion, Al Aravim B'Tocha, on the willows, Talinu K'Yoroteinu, we hung our harps, Kishon She'ilun Shoveinu, there our captors asked us for Divrei Shir, sing Jew, V'Tolaleinu, and those who taunted us asked us for Simcha, Shinu Lanu Yishir Tzion, sing to us the songs of Tzion. And our response was, Eich no shir et shir Hashem al admat mechor. How can we sing the songs of God on strange, foreign and alien side? And then they lifted their hands and the eternal oath, Imesh kachech Yerushalayim tishkach imini, tidbak lishoni lechiki imlo eskerechi, imlo eilet Yerushalayim aroi simchati. Now comes the part you don't know. Zechor Hashem levnei Edom et yom Yerushalayim. God, remember to the people of Edom the day of Yerushalayim. Edom, Esav, didn't destroy the Beit HaMikdash. It was Rome that destroyed it, or Babylon. But Esav was there, egging them on. You know what they did? Ha'omrim, those were ones who stood by the sidelines, and they said, Oru, Oru, Ata Yisobo, go ahead, destroy them, destroy them. Baz Bavel HaShaduda, Ashrei Sheyishalim Lach, Ed Gemuleich, Shegamalt Lanu, O violated daughter of Babylon, praiseworthy is he who repays you in accordance with the manner that you treated us. The last pasuk. We're going to say the last pasuk, and the pshat in the Rishonim is precisely what it says in the pasuk. Ashrei sheyochez v'nipeitz et olalayich el hasela. Praiseworthy is he who will clutch and dash your infants against the rock. And the Radak. The Radak, one of the classic Mefarshim, says, we should develop the same cruelty that they used against our children and take that same cruelty and dash their children against the rock. David HaMelech, how many times does he use the word Ashrei? Ashrei Yoshvei Veitecha Od Yahaluch HaSelo. Ashrei Ho'ish Ashelo Holar Batzas Vishoyim. But nobody remembers Ashrei Sheyochez v'nipeitz et olalayach el hasala. That's David HaMelech, the sweet singer of Israel. There's such beauty in his words. But boy, I had some mishpucha of mine. My wife told him over what I had said in shul, and he has tendencies not to be. On the right, he sees himself as part of the intellectual elite of this country, and he calls me up all mad. So I told him, I'm not going to talk to you until you read through all of Tillim. And by the way, there's a minhag to say all of Tillim in the month of Elul. And I want you to check off every pasuk in Tillim where David HaMelech says, destroy the enemy. Hate those who cause you harm. And when you've done that, or if you've reached 100 such psukim, anyone that comes first, then you can call me, and then I'll be ready to talk to you. We've lost this capacity. Something's gone wrong with us. Something's gone seriously wrong. Remember, I think a few weeks ago, I may have quoted to you the Ein Habanim Smecha,
Rabbi Yisrael Shlomo Teichtel, writing in Budapest in 1943, he says he hopes that Jews will have the sense to do unto Germany what they did to Spain 500 years, not to set foot in that accursed country. And then he writes, but I'm afraid they'll do a little business with them, they'll make a little money, and before you know it, you understand, Chaim and Adolf and Shmuel and Heinz are going to be buddy-buddy again. And that's going to be a terrible tragedy for the Jewish people. We're coming to Ha'azinu. I think children in schools used to learn Shiras Ha'azinu. They used to learn it bal peh from memory. It's all right, I'm not going to go much further because I don't remember much further anymore. But there's something very important that's said at the beginning of Ha'azinu. Hatzur tamim palo kichol derachav mishpat keil emunah ve'ein avel tzadik v'yashar hu. That pasuk is the pasuk of Tziduk Hadin that is said at a levaya. Or somebody who hasn't been on a cemetery for 30 days. Hatzur, the mighty one. Tamim, polo, whatever he does is full and complete. Hatzur, tamim, kichol derachov mishpat, whatever he does is justice. Ein ovel, he does nothing wrong. We accept upon ourselves din shamayim. Tzadik v'yoshar hu. That's the beginning of Shiras Ha'azinu. I want you to see a few psukim at the end of Shiras Ha'azinu. Pasuk Mem Aleph, second line, number 5. In Shanoti Berak Harbi, if I sharpen my flashing sword, V'tochez Mishpat Yadi, my hand is going to grab hold of justice. Oshiv Nakom Litzarai, oy will I take revenge, oy will I take revenge upon my enemies. V'lim Asanai Ashalem, and I will pay retribution to those who hate me. Listen to the figure, the words used. Ashkir chitzai midam. My arrows are going to be drunk with blood. The charbi tochal basar. And my sword is going to consume and devour flesh. I mean, this sounds pretty, this is pretty graphic. Pretty graphic. Midam cholol v'shivya, because of the blood of cholol v'shivya, those who were killed and those who were captured. Meirosh parot oyev, because of the terrible things that the enemy did. Harininu goyim amo, v'daki dam avadov yikom. God, nations of the world are going to sing. You know when they're going to sing? When Jews are finally going to get up. And they are going to take revenge of their enemies. The Nokom Yoshev Litzorov, he's going to take revenge against those and pay retribution to those who are his enemies. The Chiper Admato Amo. And you know where that's going to take place? That atonement is finally going to take place right here. How can anybody say they don't hate the suicide bomber? Meshuggah. I suggest you watch as you go through davening. Ashrei Yoshev Yisrael, we said that. Shomer Hashem et kol ohavav, vet kol harashoim yashmid, and all of the evil should be destroyed. You know what I wonder about that, Safta? How is she going to open up the door on the night of Pesach? Shvay chamos chalagayim ashelo yidolcha. Pour out thy wrath against the nations. Ki ochlu es Yaakov, because they consumed Yaakov, es noveyu ishamo, and they destroyed his temple. Tirdof ba'af v'tashmidein, pursue them with anger and destroy them forever and ever. Or is she going to say to Eliyahu, we don't hate the suicide bombers. Shomu shamayim. Shomu shamayim. On the second side, number 7,
You want to see it in practice? You'll see it in practice. Last week we learned the parasha of Melech, king. You know what else we learned last week? The Jews were commanded three mitzvahs when they came into Eretz Israel. The first one was to appoint a king, and the second one was to destroy the seed of Amalek. And therefore, after Shmuel anoints Shaul as king, he gives him the mitzvah to go out and destroy all of Amalek. And all the strange things, he leaves Agag, king of Amalek, alive, and the sheep. And I always wonder, that, you know, when he's coming back, Shmuel asks him, "U meh kol hatzon asher anochi shomea." I think there's a play on sounds over there. What's the sound of the sheep that I hear? "U meh kol hatzon asher anochi shomea." Oh, so he says, "Oh, the people wanted. You know, we're going to bring it as sacrifices." Terrible, terrible failing. He didn't fulfill a mitzvah, and we paid for it. We paid for it throughout all of history. From Agag comes Haman. Shmuel is a saintly individual. When it's all over, Vayomer Shmuel said, "Hagishu elai et Agag melech Amalek. Bring to me Agag, king of Amalek." Vayelech elav Agag ma'adanot. And Agag went to him, ma'adanot. There are a number of pshatim, but the English here says in chains. Vayomer Agag. Agag said, "Ochein sor mar hamaves." The bitterness of death, they say, approaches. Sor mar hamaves means the bitterness of death is being removed. There are some of Farshim who say that he would rather die than be in captivity. He was looking forward to death. Vayomer Shmuel said, this is the pasuk that the Safta should have thought about. Kasher shiklo noshim charbecha, just as the sword made women childless, kein tishkal minoshim imecha, so shall your mother be childless. Vayishasev Shmuel et Agag lifnei Hashem vagilgal, and Samuel severed Agag before Hashem in Gilgal. Vayishasev, where he pushed, cut him down the middle. Shmuel, great tzaddik. You have to be capable of doing that. And if we're not capable of doing that, then you should know there's something wrong with our Yiddishkeit, and it's obviously we have the right to blame it on 2,000 years of galus. But there was a period of time that we were able to do it here. And every time there's another Apache going over Gaza, you understand, then we do know what it is that we're supposed to do. But the whole idea of saying, "No, he didn't hate the Germans." What do you mean he didn't hate the Germans? Meshuggah zegeve, out of his mind. What are you talking about? We have to know how to hate. We have to know how to hate. We have to know how to love. If it's a question of which one to learn first, so you know, I'm protecting myself from any hateful attack from the outside. Learn how to love first. And after you have learned how to love, then learn how to hate. Except there's one thing. You shouldn't have to learn how to hate. Love may be more difficult than hate. Hate should, and anger should be a natural response. But you know, your neighbor who's been causing you trouble, you understand, he leaves his radio blasting at 12 o'clock at night. You know, it's not easy to love. You know, you're not easy to love. You have a problem with a neighbor. It's much easier to hate a suicide bomber and those who sent him than it is to love a neighbor. By the way, I love all my neighbors. Because none of them have the radio going till 12 o'clock at night. Avas Yisrael is most probably one of the difficult mitzvahs to fulfill. It's terrible that it's so, but it certainly is very difficult. And especially when you live in, I mean, maybe I'm justifying now, maybe rationalizing, when you're living in times where anger and hate should be the dominant emotion, and then it's difficult to learn how to love. It's very difficult to do them both at the same time. But I tell you, I think we don't feel anger. If there's any reason why we don't feel sufficient anger, It may be, first of all, because we feel impotent. What are we going to do with our anger? What are we going to do with our anger? At least every time the government does something, then we have a feeling that our anger is being expressed. But if you have anger, I mean, there are times that I would have wanted to bring 100,000 people out in the streets. I can't anymore. I don't have the kayak anymore. How do you like that? I passed 50. I don't have the kayak anymore. I can't do it. I've spent myself. But maybe I can get angry again. But it's very difficult. Very difficult. Anybody who goes through halacha. What does the halacha say? Simple halacha. Habola hargecha. Hashkein b'hargo. Somebody is coming to kill you. Get up there and kill him. And what does it mean? What do you have to do? You have to wait till he shoots first? You think the halacha was silly enough to have ever meant that? I know that his intent is to kill. I have to kill him first. I don't wait till he shoots first. The first strike, you have to be able to kill. So I just wonder. I mean, I'm telling you, watch yourself as you go through davening, and you'll see. What are we going to do with a bracha in Shmon Esrei three times a day? V'lamol shinim al tisigva. Somebody once asked, what does the word temager mean? He says, it doesn't make any difference. Take a look at all the neighbors. Ta'aker, teshaber, temager can't be too great. To destroy, to obliterate, to eradicate. Baruch atah Hashem, shoiver oivim umachnia zedim. Breaks the enemies and crushes the evil. I'm going to go one step further. One of the great mitzvahs of Torah, the Rav always used to say it. Salvechik always used to say, a significant mitzvah in Torah is the mitzvah that appears in Sefer Dvarim, V'halachto bidrochov, you shall go in his ways. Mahu rachum, just as God is merciful, you should be merciful. Just as he is chanun, he's kind, you should be kind. He feeds the hungry. He clothes the naked. He buries the dead. You should do these things. And the Rav extended it to say, Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yotzer. Just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one who creates and forms, does creative actions in the world, so it's the responsibility of every Jew. We have to be creators and builders just like him. And I'm going to take it one step further. Just like God hates evil, just like God eradicates evil, that's how we have to be. That's also part of Halachta Bedrachov. And if we can't adopt that as part of Imitato Dei, then we're going to be in very, very serious trouble. I have a theory, and Mama should tell me a theory. I really don't know. We did become, for 2,000 years in Golos, we became a passive people because we didn't have the capacity to fight back. And therefore, we in a sense, withdrew into ourselves, and whatever anger we had to sublimate it into another Pasuk Chumash, into another Blad Gemara, into a Shvere Rambam, because we didn't have the ability to go out and strike back, and it's taking us a long time to undo that. Certainly in communities that, remember, there's a part of our community that has always looked in a negative way on the armed forces, because they may be the source of the terrible Avera of Kochi V'yotzim Yadi, like my might and my strength has done this. So there's a certain moving back from it. And anger is something that would require some kind of a response that we or they are not capable of doing, and the only ones who are capable of doing it for us are the armed forces. And maybe indeed the fact that for a good while the armed forces were not doing what we were doing. I remember that day that we stood out at the Knesset Yerushalayim demonstrating. So then about the car late in the afternoon, a car drives by and says, you know, yells out to me, "They're bombing Gaza." And that night they showed all sorts of bombs shooting through Gaza. Only the next day we found out that they were shooting at empty buildings. I remember the feeling that I had, oh boy, they're giving those rots what they should get. This was 3 years ago. 3 years ago. And then when you find out that it was empty buildings, they had warned them to go out of the... What a terrible thing. And Barak got away with everything yesterday, or a lot of everything. He was the one. And that was the whole mistake all the time. They should have crushed them. They should have crushed them. And we haven't done it. So we suffer. So we suffer. And I'm going to have to find some way to talk about something very loving and soft and kind by the end of this year, so that I at least can possibly reestablish my credentials as a human being. As a human being. I'm a human being. All right. I'm going to take you for a few minutes on page 6. I'll take you through the Abarbanel. As I usually tell you, it looks formidable, but it's not so formidable. The Abarbanel is the one who, before each parasha in Torah, he asks a list of questions. Usually it's 10 questions. And then he says, now I'm going to explain the parasha in such a way so that all of the questions will be answered. In Parashat Beshalach, on the parasha of Amalek, he asks 9 questions. And if you'll see, it says over there, Hatet. The ninth question that he asks is, Shehinei kan omar katuv. Here in Beshalach, the Pasuk says, Sheyichet HaKadosh Baruch Hu zot hamulchama l'atzmo. In Parashat Beshalach it says, you know who's going to wage the war against evil and against Amalek? God says, I'm going to do it. Mocho enche et zecher Amalek. I'm going to destroy Amalek. Kmo she'omar. Ki mocho enche et zecher Amalek. Ki yad al keizka. Melcham al Hashem b'Amalek. Omnom b'mishnah Torah in Devarim, in Parashat Ki Teitze, we get a different story. It's not God who's waging the war. It's the Jewish people who have to do it. Omnom b'mishnah Torah, Chovat ha-milchama Yisrael, the obligation of the war is on Israel, Kamo Shama, as it says, V'hoyo boniach Hashem l'cho, etc. Timched Zecher Amalek, you destroyed the Zecher Amalek mitachat Hashemayim. Lo tishkach, v'he'enish et Shol aleha. And Shol, in fact, was punished because he didn't do the job that should have been done. How are we supposed to understand it? Seems a clear and open contradiction between the two. I tell you, now as I say it, I have an answer of my own. I gave the answer already. I never thought of it. You always inspire me. If I said, and I did say, that the mitzvah of imitato dei, doing and being like God, means just as he fights evil, so shall you. There's no contradiction between Beshalach and Ki Teitze. In Beshalach, God is saying, I'm going to destroy Amalek. Oh, if God says, I'm going to destroy Amalek, so what must our response be? Just as God is Mocha Amalek, so I am Mocha Amalek. Mahu Afata. Now, I tell you, I'm impressed. Not with me, with the answer. It's a very good answer. Good answer, yes. Take a look. There are 2 sentences that are underlined. And in these 2 sentences that are underlined, the first one is a pshat of his own that the Abarbanel says. And I'll tell you what it says over there. What he says is the following. There's no perfection in what we do. It's very difficult to reach absolute perfection. She says, when we go out to destroy Amalek, there's going to be some mopping up to do. And you know who's going to do the mopping up? it's going to be the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. So that it's really him and us. The two of us are going to do the job. Because we will never succeed in eradicating evil completely. We can use the Gemara that says, Kael Nekamot Hashem, Kael Nekamot Ophiach, the God of vengeance. We're going to need him. In other words, we can only destroy evil as represented by Amalek, Be'ezrat Hashem, with the help and the assistance of God. The second pshat, where it's underlined the second time, Vahaperish Habeit, the second is, Shoma Ze'a al Amalek, Kihu Choshav V'kivein Laham Ich Shmo V'tifarto Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Me'asher Oso B'mitzchayim Val Hayam. Ki yad al keis ka. God's throne is not complete and his kingdom is not complete. You know what it means? You know why God's kingdom is not complete? Because there was a blow of Amalek against God. Amalek did two things. He attacked us, but at the same time that he attacked us, there was an awesome blow against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What was the great blow? At the end of Oz Yashir it says, all the nations of the world trembled before God. Oz nivhalu alufei adam elei moav yochazei mura'an namogu kol yoshvei Canaan, all those who live in Canaan. The whole world melted away. Do you know what happened after Kriyas Yamsuf? There was yet the possibility that mankind would rally around God. Here they trembled before the awesome appearance of God in the world. There was a possibility. All right, I'll say it, though I don't. There was a window of opportunity that you could bring the whole world tachat kanfei Hashchina, beneath the wings of the Almighty. And you know who destroyed that? Who dashed it to bits? The ones who dashed it to bits were Amalek. And Rashi gives his famous marshal, a boiling hot bath, boiling hot water. Nobody wants to jump in. And then one guy goes and jumps in. You know what happens? He's made it cool for everybody else. A whole world trembled before God and the Jewish people. And there could have been the beginning, the dawn of a new day. And they dashed it to bits. So that Amalek not only waged war against the Jewish people, he waged war against God. The Rambam says whenever nations of the world wage war against us, it's not only against us, it's against the Rabbeinu Shem too. But we're the only ones that they can let it out on. And since it was a blow against both, so therefore, there are two forces that have to rise up against evil, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam and Klal Yisrael. And you know what? I have a very, very fascinating feeling that God may stand up against evil because what Amalek did to us, and we stand up against Amalek for what he did to God. Evil has to be destroyed. And only when evil will be destroyed, only then, V'hoi Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz, v'yom ahu, yi Hashem echad u'shmo echad.